You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
This week, the United States announced that it has discovered nearly $1 trillion worth of mineral wealth in Afghanistan. A small team of Pentagon officials and American geologists found huge veins of iron, copper, cobalt, gold, and lithium. An internal Pentagon memo states that Afghanistan could become the Saudi Arabia of lithium, a key raw material in the production of batteries. To discuss what this discovery will mean for Afghanistan, we've contacted Michael Clare. He is Five College Professor of Peace and World Security Studies at Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts. He's the author of 13 books, including Resource Wars and most recently Rising Powers, Shrinking Planet. Michael Clare joins me this morning from his home in Northampton. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Now, General Petraeus of the U.S. Central Command in Afghanistan says this could be a huge boon for the Afghan economy. You've been quoted as saying it'll be an unmitigated disaster. Why?
Well, because experience suggests that any economic benefit that comes out of all of this digging will flow into the hands of a few wealthy warlords and corrupt politicians and cronies of the president, and none of it will flow to the ordinary Afghan citizens who are likely to experience increased environmental devastation and increased warfare among competing warlords. So I see no benefit for the ordinary Afghans.
What is it about the situation in Afghanistan that makes this the most likely scenario?
You look at other examples of mineral extraction or oil extraction around the world in countries that lack a strong democratic government with a lot of transparency in the rule of law. And you see inevitably what we call a resource curse, which is the monopolization of resource rents by some elite that seizes power and uses the military or the police to stay in power and collect this immense wealth. And this is natural in poor countries where there are no other sources of income. Whoever can mobilize the strength to do so is going to seize power and monopolize that immense wealth.
And I'm presuming there is no local mining capacity in Afghanistan.
Well, exactly. There is no capacity either to do the physical mining itself or to oversee these projects to ensure that whatever money is collected from the foreign companies that do the mining goes to some government accounts that are scrutinized by public authorities and distributed in a fair and equitable way. That doesn't exist in Afghanistan today, and so far as I could tell, there's no prospect that that's going to happen in the near future.
Which countries are going to be jockeying for control of the resources found in Afghanistan?
You know, my guess is the leading country is China. China already has acquired the rights to develop a large copper mine in eastern Afghanistan, and Chinese companies are operating around the developing world to secure access to resources. China's the world's leading consumer of copper and iron and cobalt and most of the resources that are found in Afghanistan, so they're likely to be the most avid consumers of Afghanistan's minerals when they become developed.
And I understand that there was an allegation that I don't actually know if it's been proven or not, that the Afghan Minister of Mines accepted a very large bribe from China for the rights to develop that mine, a bribe in the millions of dollars.
Well, I can't say for sure that that's the case, but this would be standard operating procedure in Afghanistan and other places like the Congo and Guinea, where Chinese companies are operating in extracting resources. The local authorities expect this kind of bribery, and the Chinese companies are not inhibited by paying bribes the way American companies or European companies might be inhibited by national law that prohibits such behavior.
I guess if they get found out, it prohibits that behavior.
Well, yes, if they get found out, they can go to jail. So that's something of a deterrent.
Now, in your book, Resource Wars, you talk about wars that have erupted in a number of different impoverished countries that were very rich in resources. Which country do you think would provide a good parallel for what might happen in Afghanistan?
Well, I often think of the Democratic Republic of Congo, or Zaire as it used to be called, because this is another large country with vast mineral resources. I think Congo is to Africa as Afghanistan is to Central Asia. It has mammoth deposits of copper and iron and gold and other valuable minerals. And this has been nothing but misery for the Congolese people since its independence from Belgium in 1960, because one warlord or dictator after another has monopolized control over these resources. There was for many years it was the dictator Mobutu who collected all this money, he and his cronies, and filed it away in Swiss bank accounts and so on. And people in Congo today earn a dollar a day if they're lucky and experience the bloodshed from competing warlords and militias. And this is what I would expect to see happen in Afghanistan.
Now, Afghanistan is a country already at war, even before the resources were announced, discovered. What impact will that have on how things play out there, do you think?
Well, my guess is that the warlords who are already fighting for territory over the country's current leading resource, which is opium. You know, opium is the leading product, export product of Afghanistan. It's a very valuable product, and the various warlords fight amongst themselves for control over opium-growing territory, and they fight as well with the Taliban for control over the territory. They all collect rents and taxes from the opium growers. So I imagine this kind of internecine warfare will persist as discoveries of gold and lithium and so on are found in Afghanistan. Each warlord is going to want to control that territory so that they can collect the rents and royalties from the various mining companies that come in.
What's your thoughts on the timing of this announcement from the Pentagon? I mean, I don't know how long they've known about those resources, but do you think it's been picked with a particular goal in mind?
You know, I can only speculate. My guess is to counter all the bad news that's coming out of Afghanistan. There's been a steady drumbeat of bad news in the past few months of increasing corruption, of a lack of support for the government, of a growing Taliban insurgency, of the failure of efforts to improve the police and the army. So maybe somebody thought this would make the Afghanistan effort look worthwhile. I don't know, but that's what I would guess.
Now, you've written that throughout human history, resource competition has always played a role in world conflict. What's different now, do you think?
I think the dramatic change now, I guess I would have to say, is the emergence of rising powers in Asia competing with the traditional powers. This is the topic of my new book, Rising Powers, Shrinking Planet. Talk about China and India as resource competitors in these areas. So that could increase the level of resource conflict.
Okay. Well, it's been really good to talk to you this morning, Michael. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Take care.
I've been speaking with Michael Clare. He is Five College Professor of Peace and World Security Studies at Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts. And as he mentioned, his most recent book is Rising Powers, Shrinking Planet, The New Geopolitics of Energy.